Father, help us to be the people that will reflect your love, extend your love in the earth. So, Father, we invite you in now to speak to us through your word. Tune our ear to your voice so that we might hear you ever so clearly. Turn our hearts toward you that we might experience the fullness of all that you have for us this morning. God, it's to that end that I ask that you would stand in my body, think through my mind, speak through my vocal cords, those things you'd have us say, know, and do. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. Oh Lord, you are my strength. You are my redeemer. Everybody believed it, said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Would you thank God? Tanya wrote that song Thursday. Would y'all give it up? Amen. 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 Luke chapter 2 is where you can find me this morning. Luke chapter 2, grab your phones, your iPad, your papyrus, whatever you're reading on today. All the seminary students know what papyrus is. I love it. And of course, you, Dr. Jessica, you know what it is. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Hear these words of our Father. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Cornelius was governor of Syria. Parenthetically, if you don't know how to pronounce something, seminary just says, say it quickly and confidently. Verse 3, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothing, King James would say, and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. There was no room in the inn. When I had the privilege of going to Israel this past year, one of our stops on our pilgrimage was Bethlehem. And in that moment, this may sound kind of simple and just a matter of fact, but as we walked the city streets of Bethlehem, I was reminded that it was a real city, like with real people. It's a real community. Sometimes, I don't know, I just think these Bible towns, they're kind of just segregated off and they just got a rope on them that just says Jesus was here. And you just kind of go and you look and ooh and ah, but you go and there are children playing in the street. There are businesses that are open up, there are homes, there are neighbors hanging out, there are guys hanging out on the corner just chilling. Like it's a real city with full activities going on. So I can only imagine, of course, obviously, it was a real city when Jesus was there. When they get to Bethlehem, Caesar Augustus has called for everyone to come back, and they're counting all the people, and they have to go back to where their line was. So he brings Mary, Joseph does, and they're back in the city, and the city is packed. The city is hopping. It's like UCLA and USC when they play at the Rose Bowl. Like, you can't get in islands to save your life. Like, it's packed. Like, you ain't gonna get nowhere to sit. I mean, it's hopping. Like, you can't get in. So the place is packed with people, and you got Joseph who's there. And Joseph's wife is having contractions. Now, I'm not sure what it was like when your wife was getting ready to give birth, for those of you that had a wife, but you want to talk about the most helpless position you can ever be in as a man. Like, our role throughout the birth is reduced down to being able to just simply say, breathe. You just got to know if the only help you can give is breathe, baby, breathe. Like, that's the epitome of helpless. Like, you are one helpless dude. So Joseph, already feeling helpless, he's going and he's frantic because he's in the city and it's packed and he's going place to place and they're knocking on the door. They're knocking, trying to get in. And there's this tension because everywhere they go, the places are packed and there's no room. Joseph is already challenged. Like, Joseph is already got a lot going on. So you can imagine the tension that he feels trying to provide a space for his wife, trying to provide a space for them to get in. He's already had a rough go at this whole baby thing anyway. I mean, hey, come on, give the guy some credit. You would too. Can you imagine coming home and your wife telling you she pregnant and ain't nothing ever went down between y'all? You know? This is what happened. The word is betrothed to him, which means they were in. They'd done everything but one thing. Y'all know what I'm saying? It's like they've eaten dinner, but they haven't had dessert. Y'all with me? And dessert is like in the freezer, like it's cold, like should not be touched yet. It ain't ready. It ain't thawed out yet. Yeah, that's getting bad. Okay, so let me come out of that metaphor. Come out of that metaphor. That's not helpful now. It's not helpful. So what I love it is in the Bible, they don't over-spiritualize it. They don't, it's not like Joseph, it's a real problem. It's a real issue. Like, ladies, come on. Can you imagine having to tell your husband your would-be husband that all of a sudden you're pregnant, but you're a virgin, and the daddy's the Holy Spirit? Like, how's that conversation gonna go down? Honey, welcome home. Okay, come on. I fixed your favorite meal tonight. Okay. And here, have another glass of wine. And another. And another. Okay, sit down. I've got something to tell you. Okay? Okay. Okay, okay. I've got bad news and I've got good news. Okay? The bad news is I'm pregnant. The good news is by the Holy Spirit. Yay, spirit fingers for Jesus, all right? And what I love about Joseph, like his answer was real. Like it's not some Bible-ese, Christian-ese, what we think is supposed to be. Like it's a real answer. Like Joseph literally in the scripture goes to the room, gets her suitcase and be like, it ain't a matter of if you leaving, it's just a matter of how you leaving. He literally says he thought in his mind that I would put her away quietly. It's like, I don't know where you're going, but you got to go somewhere. You ain't got to go home, but you got to get up out of here. It doesn't matter how am I going to do it. I ain't going to tell Junebug and them because they'd kill you. But I'm going to put you away quietly. Because, you know, back then if you did that, you could be stoned, right? So he's like, no, I don't want you dead. I'm mad, but I ain't that mad. I ain't going to kill you, but I'm going to shuffle you aside somewhere. Like, it ain't happen. And I can relate, because if LaRosa came home talking about the Holy Spirit got her pregnant, oh, I'm sorry. The Holy Spirit going to have to come talk to me. Had the Holy Spirit come tell me himself. I'm right here. The Holy Spirit going to have to tell me what happened, and he's going to have to tell me how he did it. You're going to have to tell. Come on. Holy Spirit, come on. Where you at? And I love it, because that's exactly what happens. Like, there's an angel that comes to Joseph, standing over Joseph, like, okay, I believe you. I'm sorry, honey. I'm washing the dishes for the rest of my life. I'm sorry. So it's already this miraculous tension. They're not just carrying a son. He was born of a virgin. It's the Savior of the world. Holy Spirit did this. And you would think if the Holy Spirit has done this, Holy Spirit would at least make a reservation for them to have a room. I mean, I just don't want us to pass by verse 7. Like, that's a big deal, y'all. This is a big deal. Can you imagine? You're walking and you got your pregnant wife who's literally about to pop, and she's having contractions. And from what I remember, ladies, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I remember, contractions aren't necessarily the most comfortable and pleasant experience in the world, right? And you don't, and you can physically tell. It's not like you can't tell. It's like you see, you don't look comfortable. You something's happening with you. You don't look, there's a contraction happening. Like, it's a physical disposition, like something's happening. They didn't have any room for him. There was no room for Jesus. William Barclay says this is a symbol, a sign that points to the bigger narrative that Jesus had come to enter into the crowded hearts of those around him, but there was no room. And I'm wondering if the reality in Bethlehem is still the reality today, that in our hearts, in our lives, there's still no room. There's no room for Jesus. We're too politically correct to say it with our mouths. So we never audibly say, Jesus, there's no room for you in my life. There's no room for you in this relationship. There's no room for you in my activities. There's no room for you in my finances. There's no room for you in my budget. We will never physically say, because we're too politically correct, you don't come to church and be that irreligious. You got enough sense to know not to tell Jesus ain't got room for you, but our lives, our actions, our desires, our plans scream, Jesus, I have no room for you in my life. My heart is crowded. My life is full to capacity, and there is no room for you. There's no space for you. I know you're real. I know you're relevant. I know you don't come to church this cold, 11 o'clock in the morning, and not. I get it. You're real. I just ain't got room for you. My life is packed with my own desires, my own workings, my own failures, my own disposition, my own shame, my own guilt. I just don't have space for you in my life. I'm consumed with me. You'll never say it with your lips, but my question is, do you say it with your life? Jesus, there's no room. So when you come by and you look at the cover of my heart, it says no vacancy, because I'm full of myself and there's no space for you. Who are these people that would see a pregnant, contracting Mary and not even try to make room? Who are the people that would see her having physical contractions and close the door and say, there's no room for you? How can you see a contracting pregnant woman and tell her no room? Next question I have to ask Albert Tate is, how can you see a crucified Jesus, blood streaming down, and tell him, there's no room for you. There's no room for you in my life. I get it, you're a good dude, good ideas, good things. You probably make a difference, but I don't have room for you in my life. Are you sitting here today on the eve of Christmas, missing out on the greatest gift ever given? And that is the love of Jesus Christ. For the next 7 to 8 minutes, I don't want to talk to the cynics. I don't want to talk to the people that have come and you're not even religious at all. You just kind of happen to come. And I'm not talking to you. I'm glad you're here. I want you to eavesdrop in the conversation, but this isn't for you. I want you to keep coming back. I hope the music was good enough to keep you another week. I hope the donuts are sweet enough to keep you another week. I hope old girl is cute enough to get you to come back again next week. I want you to keep coming. I want you to keep having the conversation, but this right here is not for you. I want to talk to the people who've closed the door on Jesus, and you know better. It ain't about questions. It ain't about, no. It is about you being so consumed with yourself, you haven't opened the door to your heart to allow the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to take occupancy in a place that always has and always will belong to him. I want to talk to those of you who are sitting here right now under the sound of my voice with the door closed to Jesus. And he's knocking. and he's been knocking. But you've grown cold, calloused, and distant to his call. And there you are, in a nice Christian service, but the door's closed. Coming to church don't make you a Christian. No more than me being in a garage makes me a car. You don't get credit for showing up. I wish I could. And as a pastor, I probably shouldn't say that because some of y'all be like, I ain't getting credit. I ain't coming back next week. But you get credit for me, I'll like you. But you can't show up to heaven with your church attendance and think you're going to compromise and work out a deal. The last service, I couldn't even get past this point. Because the idea of someone sitting in this room with the door closed to Jesus put brakes on the whole thing. And although I'm tempted to try to move on because, let's face it, I wrote a great sermon. I was so excited about point number three. I really was. This is it. Because there's somebody that came to this service and the door's closed and it doesn't have to be anymore. There's somebody in this service. Your life is so consumed with you. And it's not enough. And I know that there's some of you that came tired. You're weary. You're ready. I'm not talking to the ones that are sitting and I got questions. Come back next week. I'm talking to the one that's sitting there and you know. You know. That your time is up. And we've just gathered this morning to give you an opportunity to wave the white flag of surrender and say, Lord, I surrender. No longer will I live in this isolation. No longer will I live where I am the sum total of my life. I step out of command and control of my life. I step away and I invite you, the God of all universe, the God of all things, to come in and take full occupancy. I surrender to you. You don't have to go another day living. The door closed with the rejection sign. You thought Jesus would have given up on you. He loves you too much. He knows all of you. He sees all of you. That's the message of Christmas. He came where we were through the babe of Jesus Christ, born of a virgin. He came where we were so that he might bring us to where we were always meant to be, in his presence. So he's right where you are. And he loves you right where you are. But he loves you too much to leave you right where you are. He wants to bring you to where he's always meant for you to be. In his provision, in his power, in his strength, and out of yours. Every head bowed and every eye closed. So God, I just ask you to move by your Spirit. I ask you to speak in a way that my words could never penetrate. I ask you to pierce the cold, calloused hearts. I ask you to disrupt the agenda of Satan. His plans to kill, steal, and destroy and have people live their life and die without experiencing the hope, the joy, and the peace of the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. We disrupt his plan today. We hijack his agenda. We say, Spirit of the living God, speak. If you're in this room and under the sound of my voice, and the door of Jesus is closed in your life, the door to Jesus is closed by the power of the Spirit of God. You're ready for change. Just tell you, it's not about you working. It's not about you leaving church today with a 10-step plan of how to change your life or how to turn yourself. No. It's only one step. It's only one step. It's only one step. And that one step is simply, yes, God, I surrender. You can't change your life, and it's not a whole bunch of steps you need to do. So I don't want you to be overwhelmed, because Satan will immediately begin to whisper in your ear and say, well, you have to do this, you have to change this, you have to do it. You won't have to change anything. God will. Because if you could change yourself, you would have changed yourself a long time ago. This is an invitation to say yes to God. And when you say yes to him, he comes in and he takes full occupancy and he begins to rule and reign and he does the heavy lifting. As a matter of fact, he's already done it. He did it on the cross. So he says to you, all you got to do is say yes to what I've done. If I had time to preach the whole sermon, I would tell you there's no room for him, because he didn't come on earth for us to make room for him. He came to make room for us. So don't sit there and try to figure out, how can I make space in my life for him? The question is, how can I leave my life and rest in the space that he's provided for me? Mark 9 says, if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. If you lose your life, lose your life, lose your life. The idea here is that if you would give up command and control, if you surrender the keys and say, Lord, no longer will I try to be the author and the finisher of my fate. Father, I surrender to you and I give you the keys. If you would lose your life for my sake, he says, you'll gain it. I've prepared a place for you. I've got a stable tucked away. And I got a manger there. Got some swaddling clothes. I prepared a place for you. Come to the place I've prepared for you. If you're sitting in this room today and you're ready to open the door, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Consider for the moment that it's not God standing outside knocking. What if it was God standing inside of your heart knocking, saying, let me out of the confined space you've restricted me to. Let me out. And let me bring you to the place that I've prepared for you. If you're sitting here today and you say, I'm ready to open up the door to Jesus in my heart. I'm ready to open up the door to Jesus in my life. I'm ready to take the no vacancy sign off. I'm ready to leave this place that I've created and walk in the newness of life, this space that he's created for me. If that's you, if you're here today, I want to pray for you. It's going to require a little courage. But if that's you and you're ready to believe God for more in your life, would you just stand up right where you are? If that's you, just stand up right where you are. If that's you, stand up right where you are. I'm ready to open up the door. I'm ready. This area has been restricted from God. I'm ready. I'm ready to trust God with all of me. Satan's had a plan for my life, but today I'm moving, I'm making a decision off script. I'm rewriting the narrative. I'm trusting Jesus with everything. If that's you, just stand up right where you are. Stand up right where you are. Ready to open up the door of my heart. Haven't had any room for Jesus. It's so good to know that he's made room for me. So I step out of where I am and I walk to the place where he is, where newness of life can begin. If that's you, just stand up right where you are. I dare not allow Christmas to come another year and me miss the greatest gift that's ever been given. Father, come in. Come in, Lord. Come in. I'll take about 60 more seconds. Can I just warn you, if you're sitting there and if you're wrestling, don't wrestle with this God. He's too big for you. You don't wrestle, you surrender. Before I pray, if you're sitting here and you say, this isn't you, it's not where you are today, would you just begin to pray for the people sitting around you? The Lord would prick their hearts. Young lady, he's knocking, let him out. Young man, he's knocking, let him out. Old man, he's knocking, let him out. Old woman, he's knocking, let him out. Would you trust him today? Take 45 more seconds. If you have 45 seconds to drastically change your life, would you trust him? Would you trust him? Would you believe God to completely transform all the weight that you've been carrying? You have 30 seconds left. Would you drop the burdens? Would you drop the weights that you brought in here today and trust God with everything in your life? Would you release it and let it go? Hallelujah. Moved by your spirit, God. 15 seconds would change your life. If in a moment you could trust him, you can give to him what's been torturing you, would you surrender? Would you let it go? If in 5 seconds the Spirit of the living God could blow and breathe life into you that would bring satisfaction to the deepest longings of your soul, would you exhale your anxiety and inhale his grace? Would you trust him? Would you trust him? With the marriage, would you trust him? With the health, would you trust him? With your addiction, would you trust him? With the weed, would you trust him? With the sexual relationship, would you trust him? With the abortion, would you trust him? With the abuse and the wounds that you've carried, would you trust him? With your life and your inability to trust anybody but yourself, would you realize that you can't save yourself? You need a savior. Would you trust the savior today? Everyone that's standing all around the room, would you just stretch those hands toward heaven? As high as you can get them. If you're sitting, if you want to do it, please feel free. Would you just lift those hands towards heaven as we pray that the Spirit would speak louder than my voice. Father, this is your plan for this morning. You saw him, you saw her. And when they walked in this room, all of heaven began to rejoice because you knew that this was their day. This was the day that they would finally say yes. And you would come in a way that you've never been in before. This is the day that they would step into the space where I've made room for them. This is the day where no longer they'll try to make room for me in their life, but they would step in the space where I've made all the room for them in my life, in my presence. I've made room for my sons and daughters to come. Jesus, we surrender and confess everything over to you. Our hands lifted up is the proverbial white flag that says, I surrender. I give up. I throw in the towel. No longer will I try to be the CEO of this thing called life. I recognize there's been a takeover, and it's not hostile, it's graceful. So, Father, would you take over? My agenda, I surrender. My addiction, I surrender. My struggle, I surrender. My arrogance that makes me think that I was in charge, that I'm in control, I surrender over to you. And I say, Lord, have your way. In this place, this temple, Father, would you fill me? Would you change me? Would you heal me? Would you restore me? Father, I thank you. Do what only you can do. Save me. Those of you that are standing, especially those of you that are praying a prayer like this for the first time, those of you sitting, if you want to join in, would you just repeat this prayer after me? Lord Jesus, I confess my sin. I realize I need a Savior. And I know you're the one. God, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus Christ died and rose from the grave, I will be saved. So, Lord, I've come. I confess my sin. And I believe that Jesus is the Savior. I believe that he rose with all power. And it's in that strength that I stand today. Jesus, I invite you in my heart. Be the CEO. Have full control. I surrender. Save me. Save me. Save me. And upon my confession, I am saved. By the blood of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. The Bible says, I know there's some that are making first-time commitments. There's some that are just opening up new commitments. But the Bible says, when something like this happens, all of heaven rejoices. Because the greatest gift that could ever be given has just been fully received. So in a few moments, those of you that are standing, I want to shower you with love. I don't care about it being comfortable and awkward. Those are my two favorite words. You're sitting around someone that's standing. On the count of three, I just want you to shower them with love. Hug them. and just tell them how much Jesus loves them and tell them how great this gift is. Let's shower them with love. 1, 2, 3, stand all around this place. Love on them. Love on them. Come on. Oh. Hallelujah. Would you just stretch those hands across the aisles? Man, it was a great sermon, too, that I wrote. Before we go, hold on just a second, Marquet. Before we go, if you're here today, trying to wrestle, I'm like, Lord, we just let these people go home. And I heard you. I know some of you is like, yes. I said, Lord, I didn't ask you. Before we go, though, it's just like I saw in the last service, if you're here today, this is what I see. I'll just tell you what I see. I see a space in your life. It's like a house, and there's caution tape wrapped all around it. And there's a sign that says, stay out. It's for those of us who may be in this place today, and we say, Jesus, you can come, and you can sit on the couch and make yourself at home. Make yourself at home on the couch. But don't you go down that hallway. Because there are some areas in my life that I can't afford to have you go in. Because if you go there, I'll never be the same. If you go there, just stay in the den. Just stay in the living room. Because if you come here, I may have to actually change how I live. If you come in this place, every lie that Satan has been telling me may turn out to be just that, a lie. It's as if Satan has said, if he touches that, his judgment will come. And the lie is that, no, when he touches it, his grace will come, and it'll flood you and overwhelm you. And the guilt and the shame that's tied to this space in your life, you'll be unleashed and unlocked from. This is one of those things where I don't want you trying to figure out, oh, I don't know if that's me. No. I'm talking about when I say it, it immediately connects with your soul. That's who I'm talking to. For our benediction, we got about 5 minutes before children's ministry goes crazy. For our benediction, can we just pray for those brothers and sisters? There are areas in your life where say, Jesus, you can come into this part, but I've intentionally or subconsciously kept you out of that part. And today I want to invite you in to have full occupancy. Maybe it's your relationship. Maybe you go to church and I'm all about Jesus, but me and my boyfriend are still having sex, and I'm not even trying to hear what God has to say about it. Maybe it's your sexual desires. Maybe you say, I'm a lesbian, and I'm satisfied, and Jesus, I love you. I love my sexual partner, and I'm not trying to even invite you into the conversation about my sexuality. That room is cautioned off. Maybe it's money and the Lord's been pricking at your heart about finances and money and how you steward what you have and your wealth and your finances. And you're like, Lord, I give, and I make nice gestures, and that's it. I'm not trying to invite you to speak into this, because if you get into this, you may change, you may rearrange all my furniture, and I'm not trying to have that. I don't know what it is, and I'm not trying to put labels on it, but I'm saying if you're in this place today and you got areas that are walled off and cautioned off, I don't want you to get in your car and go home missing the fullness of the joy that comes with having Jesus Christ dwell in your life. Would you let those hands go real quick? Before we go home, just bow your heads for me real quick. If that's you, and you're in this space today, and you say there are areas that are walled off from him. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? If that's you and you're ready, if you're ready to surrender, Jesus, I want you to go into the places where the caution tape is. I want you to go into the places that have been sealed off. If that's you. For our benediction prayer, listen, if you're in the balcony, if you're in the back, I want you to do something. I want to pray for you. I want us to take time to pray for you, but I want you, trust me, don't get uncomfortable, don't get awkward. I want us to gather around you as a community. I want us to pray for you. If your hand is up, would you just make your way down and come down front? If your hand is up, would you just say excuse me? Just say excuse me and just step out in the aisle. Just say excuse me and just come. Just come. Just come. If that's you. That's you. Just come. Just come. Take the steps. Take the steps. If you're in the balcony, I promise I'll wait on you. Take the steps. Come all the way down. Come all the way around. Just circle the stage. Come all the way around. Just circle the stage. Come quickly. Come. Just circle the stage. Get around the perimeter of the stage. Come all the way around. Come all the way around. Thank you. Just come. Come. Come on. Come on. Get all the way around the perimeter. All the way. Come on. Would y'all just step up? Just get all the way up to the stage. Just step up. Just step up. Stretch wide. Come on. The devil told you were going to die carrying this. The devil is a liar. There's healing and there's forgiveness and there's deliverance. If you're here, just walk down. Just walk down. Just take those steps. Walk down. I sense, and I'm not charismatic. Well, I kind of am, but I'm really closet charismatic because I don't want to scare people. But I want us to. There's somebody paralyzed. It's like your feet. It's like you can't move. Because the fear. So real. What would my life be like if I really trusted him? If I really walked in his ways, what would it be like? And I sense your paralysis. I can feel it. I feel your paralysis. I feel the fear. I want us to clap in a second. And when we clap, the thunder, the breaking, I pray that by the Spirit of the living God, it would break the fear and give you a moment of courage so that the Spirit of God may move you from your seats and just say, excuse me, and come quickly. 1, 2, 3, clap. No, just clap, clap. Yeah. Clap. Come. Okay, so maybe I'm really charismatic. All right, so what? Hallelujah. All right, this is what I want to do. It's too many people over here. If you're not standing behind someone already and you're here to support somebody, would you just stretch across to the right? Just come around to the right. Over here. I'm sorry. My right, your left. Sorry. You're like, what? What happened? This way. As much as you can. I want it to thin out. Because what I want you guys to do... If you've come just if you've come up, just stretch your hand up. Just lift your hand up. Just lift your hand up. Just lift your hand up. Lift your hand up. Lift your hand up. I want you guys to come and stand behind every person that's raising their hand. I want you to come and stand behind everyone. And where there's layered and where there's rolls, you're going to have to say, excuse me, you're going to have to break in. So break in and get in here. You're going to have to break in. It can be a little uncomfortable. We can spread out. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up because I want to make sure everyone gets touched. Nothing spooky, nothing crazy. I just want you to know you ain't by yourself. That's all. You're not by yourself. You're not by yourself, man. You're not by yourself. Not by yourself. Everybody. Need somebody right here? Somebody right here? Come in. And just break in. It'll just be awkward to say, excuse me. Excuse me. Just break in, make it a little uncomfortable. I just don't want a person standing. None spooky, none crazy. I just don't want you to ever think that you're standing in this moment by yourself. We got you. We got you. See, because I know what the devil been telling you. He's been telling you by yourself. I know the lie because he told me the same lie. He's been telling you by yourself. Nobody understands you. Nobody gets you. Nobody's walking with you. They say it, but they're not with you. I want you to feel the presence of the living God in his community and in his spirit saying, I'm with you. You were never alone. You were never alone. How you think you got here today? I brought you here. You weren't by yourself. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I've always been with you. I was just waiting on your yes. I'm a gentleman, man. Girl, I'm a gentleman. I would never push myself on you, but I've been waiting like a gentleman. Saying as soon as she says yes, soon as he says yes, my grace will come in like a mighty rushing wind and flood her, flood him with my love. Those of you, would you just stretch your hands towards these dear brothers and sisters up here? Whole room. Everybody just do a big inhale, exhale. Feel the Spirit of the living God breathing new life into you. Jesus Christ went to death, hell, and the grave. He got the keys to your locked doors. And he says, I'm coming in. In the spirit, he's moving all the tape and all the stuff. And he's walking into some broken, empty spaces. He says, I already died for this. He's come to lift you out of this broken space. And he's bringing you out. He's bringing you out. He's bringing you out. You thought you were going to have to die here, but he's bringing you out. He loved you enough not just to come and meet you here. I want you to hear. He loves you right here. He sees the mess. He sees the good. He sees the bad. He sees the ugly. He sees the brokenness. He sees it. He loves you right here, but he loves you too much. We ain't going to stay in here. I love you too much to leave you here. I've prepared a place for you. It's a place that's filled with my power. It's a place that's filled with my presence. It's a place that's filled with my peace, my love, my provision, my hope, my joy. You're going to laugh and you're going to laugh for real because the joy will be real in your life. I've come to set the captives free today. So lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord who's mighty in battle. He's strong. My sister, he's strong. My brother, he's strong. He's not intimidated by the heaviness of your life. He is strong, the Lord God, strong and mighty. He can carry you. So, Father, thank you for bringing the joy of Christmas. This is what it must have felt like when the shepherds heard, "He is here. The Messiah has come. Hope is now ours. Peace on earth, goodwill to men, because the Prince of Peace has come. Let every heart prepare him room, because he has come to fill this space." So, Father, we thank you because you are here. We receive you. Now dwell here. Devil, your agenda has been discontinued. Your lies have been exposed. And you no longer reside here. Your eviction notice has been served. We are under new management. Jesus Christ has come to take over, and it can get hostile. He's come with force. He's come with power. And he's come at the invitation of our reclining heart. So God be God. No longer, Satan, will we fall and be held captive to your lies. I am who God says I am. I am more than my failure. I am more than my mistake. I am more than the abortion. I am more than the abuse. I am more than the lies. I am more than my failure. Some stuff they didn't lie on me about. They told the truth about me. It was the truth. I did it, but I am more than what I did. I am his daughter. I am his son. I am renewed. I am redeemed. And I am his. So, Father, I walk in my new name. And whenever Satan tries to remind me of my past, Father, give me the courage and strength to remind him of his future.